Wednesday is March 7th. And we are in Hilchos Pesach. We're in Siman Tav Lamed Gimel, which is page 8 in the Mishnah Berurah.
Eight.
And we did Aleph and Beis, we're up to Sif Gimel. Now what I want to do here is, before we go further, is let's talk through B'dikas Chametz a little bit so we can get a fuller understanding of it. Now this is at the risk of that next time we learn, which will be next Monday, Mirtz Hashem, anybody who wasn't here tonight is going to be asking questions. I may have to repeat all of this next time. But it's the only way to really fully understand how B'dikas Chametz works. The question is, why do you need to do B'dikas Chametz? And this is going to deal with your question. Why do you need to do B'dikas Chametz? The purpose of B'dikas Chametz is to get rid of, to find all your chametz and get rid of it. But we know that another thing you could do is you could be mevat all the chametz. Just say, all of my chametz, I give it up. It's like the dust of the earth. I have nothing. It has nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with it. It's gone.
So why not just have to do that?
So why not do that? It'll be a lot easier. So why do B'dikas Chametz? So there are two answers to this question. One answer is because we're afraid that if you don't do B'dikas Chametz, even if you're mevatel the Chametz, you make it like the dust of the earth, but it doesn't automatically disintegrate. It's still there. So we are afraid, God forbid, a person may come across a loaf of bread in the middle of Pesach, which he had said is like the dust of the earth, and so he'll notice the loaf of bread, forget that it's Pesach, and eat. And so, or pretzels, or cookies, or crackers, or whatever. So therefore, you have to do B'dikas Chametz, but you shouldn't come across something nice and eat it on Pesach, God forbid.
Is it a Daraisa?
Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. The other reason to do B'dikas Chametz is we are concerned that if you have Chametz around and you say, I'm mevatel it, you don't really mean it. Right? Say, I'm mevatel it. Who are you kidding? You weren't really mevatel it. You've got a pantry full of cereal and crackers and breads, and you don't really mean it. It's all there. So yes, you said you're mevatel it, but you didn't really mean it. And therefore, you will own Chametz on Pesach. And therefore, the Chachamim said you have to do B'dikas Chametz. Now, why don't we just do B'dikas Chametz then? So B'dikas Chametz is also acceptable. Get rid of all your Chametz. But we don't just do B'dikas Chametz. We also do Bittul. We say I'm mevatel it. So why do you have to do Bittul if you just did B'dikas Chametz?
Whatever you didn't find.
Okay, because you might have missed something. So we cover ourselves both ways. We do B'dika and we do Bittul. So your question was, is B'dikas Chametz from the Torah or not? The answer is, it depends whether you do Bittul or not. You see, if you do Bittul, then B'dikas Chametz is really only midrabanan, because the Bittul really gets rid of the Chametz. But before you do Bittul, then B'dika is from the Torah. So let's say it this way.
You have to do regardless, right?
You have to do one of the two, regardless. You got to get rid of your chametz.
And they're both of equal standing halachically?
Yeah, you got to get rid of your chametz. Either physically get it off your property, destroy it, or say it's like the dust of the earth. It's not mine. Those are your two choices. But each one has a potential flaw. So therefore, we say do both. Now, the way to say it is, the chiyuv of doing it in this way, the system that we have set up, which is the night of the 14th, you should do B'dikas Chametz. And then the day of the 14th, you burn the Chametz, and you say Bittul, that system was set up by the Rabbanan. Because from the Torah, you don't have to do it the night of the 14th, you don't have to use a candle, you don't have to use a flashlight, whatever, you can do whatever you want. The Chachamim are the ones who instituted the exact parameters of how you want to get rid of your Chametz. And therefore, the night of the 14th that we do B'dikas Chametz, that is Midi Rabbanan. But it is from the Torah that you got to do something. So that's how we do it. Now, the question is, how thorough do you have to be when you do B'dikas Chametz? How thorough do you have to be? That was the question, right? How much time and effort do you have to put into it? So the answer is this, and we're going to see more of this in the halacha as we go along, but I want to share it with you so you're clear on it. And that is that, you see, B'dikas Chametz in days of yore went like this. Purim was over, and people ate their shalach manos, and ate their food, and they went about their business, and then came Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and they still went about their business. Maybe they bought some flour to be used to make matzah. And then came the week before Pesach, and people still went about their business. And then came the night before Pesach, and you checked your house and got it ready for Pesach.
Well, you didn't have 5 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms and a
right.
big kitchen and
You had
storage room and 3 right. cars.
And food and refrigeration.
No refrigerator.
Yeah.
No storage.
Yeah,
no office. You didn't have. You had dirt floors.
Yeah.
Right? Everything was a lot simpler. So they didn't have. They didn't have.
To check because it just wasn't that much.
Right.
There.
So Bedikas Chametz was cleaning for Pesach. What we call cleaning for Pesach, they did Bedikas Chametz. Now they had to kasher their kalim, just as any. If we want to use our kalim on Pesach, we have to kasher them. But that also that was done either Pesach, the day before Pesach, 2 days before Pesach, whatever it is, they kashered their kalim. Usually it was the day before Pesach because you finished eating chametz, and then you kashered your kalim. How many kalim did they have already? You had a couple of spoons, you had a couple of you had a couple of pots, and then you kashered your thing. There was no concept of the ovens of self cleaning the ovens. The ovens were anyway they were burned out. They were just that's when you had an oven, right? They didn't have sinks to kosher. They didn't have any of these things. They didn't have to cover the counters. I mean, you didn't have these things. You know, they did have tables, so they had to do whatever they had to do with the tables, cover the tables, or. So this is what it was. So it was, even though life was harder, and, to get a boiling pot of water was much harder than it is today, and you couldn't just turn on the stove, but their preparation for Pesach was simpler. I wouldn't say it was easier, but it was simpler and took less time.
Now, for Shabbos, it was really hard, it would seem to me, to prepare for Shabbos.
Because
you don't have refrigeration.
Yeah, much harder, much harder. You can't store things.
Yeah.
Meat you eat right away.
Right.
A few days, that's it. You can't leave meat for a week.
Yeah.
Right? You can't purchase in advance. You can't bake kugels and put them in the freezer.
We are learning bakes that. And they said, how come, what do we need this for? We just stick it in the freezer.
Right.
I said, well, in Siberia, 100 years ago, they didn't have
it. Yeah, they have freezers.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, that's what Bedikas Chametz is. So today, the thing is that we spend weeks cleaning our house for Pesach. So when it comes to Bedikas Chametz night, it's clean. The house is clean already. Some people have already started cooking for Pesach a week in advance. And they don't have any chametz in the house. So you're not supposed to get rid of all your chametz because you want to be able to burn some chametz on the 14th
but
of
Nisan. It's really just a formality almost.
The Bedikas chametz.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have thoroughly cleaned your house and thoroughly cleaned your cars, and you've thoroughly done everything that you're supposed to do, then Bedikas chametz, I wouldn't call it a formality. It's a spot check because you may have missed something. Sometimes, you can do a thorough cleaning, you can miss a box of crackers. You weren't thinking about it. It was there and you forgot all about it. It was on the shelf. You thought maybe I'll give it to the kids
especially
the day before, 2 days before Pesach, so you forgot about it.
My kids are 30 years old.
Okay, but
you have young kids, it could be anything, I guess.
Well, yeah, but if you have young kids, then you take steps already way before Pesach to make sure that I'm just saying that what Bedikas Chametz becomes for us today is more of a spot check than anything else. So it's to make sure that you didn't forget anything. Make sure, and many times during Bedikas Chametz, there have been things that I realized that, hey, I forgot all about this. Hey, is this mouthwash kosher for Pesach? Something like that. And of course, I'll go to my wife and she says, yeah, I took care of that a week ago. I was just saying, but many times, something will hit me during Bedikas Chametz just because I'm going around in every single part of the house and shining the light and looking, it just makes you think. It just makes me think more. And, I forgot to do that. I forgot to clean out that cupboard, or I forgot to vacuum the car, or whatever it is that you're doing. So that's the concept. Or very common, the stroller. I forgot to do the stroller, or something like that. So the question of how long it should take, if you've done a thorough cleaning beforehand, which most of us have, then the Bedikas Chametz does not have to be an all-night ordeal. But you do need to be thorough. You do need to check everywhere. You have to check everywhere but you don't have to check with a magnifying glass. You don't have to walk around with a rag. You just have to check and make sure you didn't forget anything. So that's the idea.
So leaving the pieces around.
So leaving the pieces around, which we're gonna, which did we mention it? We did mention it, right? We mentioned it before. That was.
We talk about aluminum foil versus paper bag.
So the idea of leaving the things around is some say that in order the bracha shouldn't be for no reason because it's totally clean. You have no b'chametz. So what are you getting rid of? So you put out the chametz.
You have to do the 10 things.
That's a minhag. The Arizal had 10.
Okay.
So that's a minhag to do 10. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be a whole long ordeal if you've checked properly. My mother told me that she used to. My parents made Pesach for 25 years before they ever went away for Pesach. Before they went to relatives for Pesach. But the first 25 years they were married, they made Pesach, and my mother told me that for years. They would do everything as they would clean for Pesach, but they would turn over the kitchen that night. Now, they would do B'dikas Chametz, and then turn over the kitchen that night, do all the kashering that night, which means, essentially, they were up most of the night, the night before Pesach, which is a horrible way to go into Pesach the next night, because we have a late Seder, and you can't keep your eyes open.
Well, then she had to cook all night before the Seder.
Right, right, and she cooked all day the next day. She couldn't take a nap the next day. So she said it was insanity, though, for years. And then it finally hit her, why am I doing this? And then she realized, I should do it a few days before Pesach. And then she started, so if you do everything that night, it can be a real big ordeal. Okay, we are up to Gimel. Bode kol ha-makomos she'yesh lachosh shema hechnisu bahem chametz. You have to check all the places that there is a suspicion that you may have brought chametz into there. And therefore, kol chadrei habayis, all the rooms of the house, the ha'alios, and the upper floors, lofts, tzrichim b'dika, they need to be checked. Sheta'amim adam nichnas b'hem u'pito b'yodo, because sometimes a person goes in and you're holding the bread in your hand. Sometimes you do that. Avol otzros yayin, but storehouses of wine. She'ein, I'm sorry, is that the wrong one? I'm sorry. She'ein mistapik mayhem. That you don't go in there on a regular basis. It's a storehouse of wine. It's a wine storehouse. You go in every so often, but rarely. You don't go in on a regular basis. The chain mitzvah and also a silo or chiyotzibo, similar places. Ein tzarich bedika, does not need bedika. So you do not need to check places that you only go in infrequently and you don't take any food in there. So let's say a crawl space. If you don't take food into a crawl space, you don't need to check it.
I say a baby, right?
I mean, like, I'll say out of the house, let's say an outside, or let's say an attic. If you don't take food up there, you don't have to. I have an uncle who has a huge Sfarim collection, and he's a collector of old manuscripts, and he has a very nice library. It's fun to learn in his house, but he does not want to have to check through that library, because it would be exceedingly tedious. So he has a rule that he never, ever, ever takes food into his study, except on Pesach. And how did I find this out? Because we were at his house for Pesach, and after lunch on Pesach, he announced, he says, I'm taking this apple. He doesn't even take apples, nothing. He doesn't take this apple, and I'm going down to my study with my apple. He says, only on Pesach I take food into my study, because he doesn't want to have to check it the rest of the day, every time before Pesach. So you do not have to clean anything that you know you never bring chametz into. Dalet, chorei habayis, the holes of the house. Now in those days, what would you use if the walls, if you had stone walls, so there were naturally cracks and crevices in the stones, you'd use that as storage areas. You'd keep things in there, little things you put in the holes of the walls. So chorei habayis, the holes of the walls, the zizin habolten mehaksolim, and the aziz is a shelf that sticks out from the walls. She'enam gevoim harbe, that are not very high. Falo nemuchim harbe, aren't very low. Tzrichim bedika, you have to check them because you would naturally use them. Aval gevoim, those that are high up. She'en yan ha'adam magaz sham, that naturally a person doesn't reach them. You don't usually go up that high. Falo nemuchim. Pachos migil tfachim, those that are lower than 3 tfachim off the ground. 3 tfachim is approximately 9 inches, 9 to 12 inches, and is lower than a foot off the ground. Ein tzrichim bedika, they do not need to be checked because you don't use them. You wouldn't naturally use a hole, a shelf, or a cubby that's way low to the ground. It's too inconvenient. You wouldn't use it. Of course, the Mefarshim all speak out. If you have small children, then anything low to the ground has to be checked, because they'll take food into them. So everything is based on your particular situation. Hey, Gag HaYatzia VeHamigdol, the roof of the shed, and the Migdol literally means tower, but it also means like a shed-like area, storage area. Shegageya Mishupayim, that their roofs are slanted. Umzekach Ein Gageyan Ru'uyim Lishum Tashmish, therefore their roofs are not usable. Ein Srichim Bedika, they don't need to be checked. Afilohim Besachabayas, even if they are inside the house itself. You don't need to check them because they are diagonal and therefore you can't keep them on them. In those days they used the roof all the time. The roof is a separate place. They would use, they would spread things on the roof. They would use the roof as a separate room in good weather. So you would normally have to check a flat roof. But a diagonal roof would not have to be checked because everything rolls off the roof. Now, even if it's indoors, let's say you have some kind of a shed that's in your house, but it has a diagonal roof, you don't have to check it because you can't keep things on top of that roof. Vav, refes shel bakar, a what's that?
A barn.
Yeah, a barn, right? Ein tzarech bedika, does not need to be checked. Why? Shim haya sham chametz habehem yachlo, because had there been chametz there, the animal would eat it. V'chein lul shel tarnagolim, also a chicken coop, ein tzarech bedika, doesn't need to be checked. V'mei shim haya sham chametz, if there had been chametz there, hatarnagolim yachlo, the chickens would eat it. V'chein emsa shel chatzer, also the middle of your courtyard, ein tzarech bedika, doesn't need to be checked. Shim haya sham chametz, had there been chametz there, ha'arvim u'shar ofos ha'mitzuyim sham yachlo, the ravens and the other birds that are around would eat it. V'hani mili misafik chametz. That's only so if you're not sure there's chametz there. If you don't know about chametz, you don't have to check. Avol vaday chametz, but if you know for a fact that you put chametz there, then lo, then that's not good enough. You got to check and make sure the chametz is gone. Haga avol lekaman simin tuf mem hei stif gimel mavur demutter lahash the chametz b'makom sha'ofos mitzuyim. That you're allowed to throw chametz any place where there are birds there. Kol sha shein tzarech levar misham afilu chametz vaday am achar zman yisuro. As long as you don't have to destroy the chametz from there. I got the abbreviation. I'm sorry. Kol shekein shein tzarech levar misham afimu chametz vaday ab achar zman yisura. You don't need to destroy the chametz from there until the time of destroying the chametz. So you can even throw chametz out there and let them eat it, and you don't have to destroy it until the time of destroying the chametz. So there seems to be a contradiction, because here the Mechaber says you do have to check your courtyard if you know that there's chametz there, and later on he says you can actually throw chametz into the courtyard. So the answer that they say is, I forgot what it was. Hold on. I saw this earlier today and I just forgot what the answer was. So they say the answer is that you're not, if it's your courtyard, you do have to check it for chametz if you know there's chametz there, but you can lechatchila throw chametz into a public area that people walk in. That you can do.
You can throw chametz into a public area?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of people
get it out of your area.
Right. Right. Because it'll be trampled, it'll be destroyed before the time of Isser. I have a friend who one of his relatives came to visit from Muncie and brought had been shopping in the one of the stores, one of the grocery stores that had Pesach products. You know, it was basically a Pesach product store for before Pesach. And she brought a kosher Pesach kishka. It was our Pesach. House was already Pesach thick. And he's looking at he took the thing and he said, I just looked at it. You know, he said, I've never seen it before. Kosher Pesach, and I started looking at it. He said, it was chametz. It was complete chametz. It wasn't Pesachtik at all.
Did it have a Pesach label on
it? No. It was a chametz kishka.
Sure.
They just threw it, whatever, they missed out, whatever. And so he said, what are we going to do with it? So he took it and he threw it out in the street. And what are we going to do with it? You got to get out of the house. Can't keep it in the house. And it was
Yatav?
It was Erev Pesach.
Wow.
So he threw it out in the street. What are we going to do with it?
Getting
it
in the garbage in the house.
Right. Right. So, I mean, he felt bad about it, but what was he going to do? I mean, he had to get rid of it. So that's the difference. So if it's a public area, you can throw it out there. If it's your own courtyard, then you need to check it if you know for sure there's chametz there.
But what about your garbage?
You do have to get rid of your garbage. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a little tricky what to do with garbage today. What do you do with garbage? So you can't keep the garbage in your house. The problem is that you're putting the garbage in a pail that belongs to you and putting it out front, but it's in the pail that belongs to you. That's why some folks can have a problem with that with garbage. So that can be an issue. That can be an issue. But I see that you can leave the garbage on the curb, right?
Just in a bag.
In a bag. No, you don't have to have it in a pail. So that you can do. I don't see why that should be a problem to leave it in a bag on the curb. So it's off your property, and you know, and you say it's hefker, I don't want it anymore. You know, it's garbage. You know, you're not going to get your garbage.
I think Rabbi Friedman said you can put like Ajax cleanser.
Can do also. That makes it inedible. Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah. Okay, Zion. If there is a hole, now even though this case is rare today, but we're going to learn something from it. If there's a hole that's between two houses, there's a hole in your wall, and you use it as a cover, and he uses it as a cover, your next door neighbor. Each one checks as far as you can reach. So if it's a very thick wall, so then you reach as far as you can and check your side, he reaches as far as he can and checks his side. And the rest of it, you are mevatel in your heart, v'dayo, and that is sufficient. V'shebein Yehudi, leino Yehudi, but a hole that is between you and a non-Jew, ein tzarach b'dika chal, you don't have to check at all. Why? Shemayomar, because he might say, k'shafim hu oseli, that he's doing witchcraft against me. V'nimta boli v'sakana, and then you're going to put yourself in danger, because the non-Jew is going to be afraid of what you're doing. Imagine you're taking this candle, and you're sticking it into the hole over there, and you're looking, it looks really weird. So the non-Jew is going to think you're doing some kind of divination against him, and he's going to take it out on you. So you got to be careful. So therefore, the Gemara says you don't do that. You only check. If it's between you and a fellow Jew. The Gemara asks on this that why don't we say shluchei mitzvah in an izakin? But if you're doing a mitzvah, you won't be damaged. Checking for chametz is a mitzvah. So what's the answer?
What's the question again?
Why don't we say on this that you're doing a mitzvah, so you won't be damaged? Shluchei mitzvah in an inzakin. Why are we afraid that he's going to think you're doing witchcraft and you're going to be in trouble? We should say that you're doing a mitzvah, so you can't get hurt from doing a mitzvah.
Well, is that what if you're traveling on the road and you can't daven because there's robbers around? You have to make accommodations for that too.
Good. Same question. Good. Yeah. So why don't we say you're doing it? Let's say you're going on the road to do a mitzvah. Or not? You're even davening. Davening is a mitzvah.
So why shouldn't you just have trust that everything's going to be all
right? Right.
With a mitzvah?
Right. So the Gemara says that there's no protection if it's shchia chazeka. If it's common to be damaged, which means that if it's a dangerous situation, you're not going to be protected. A person can't say, I'm going to do a mitzvah so I can cross the street without looking. Right? That's foolish. The protection for doing a mitzvah is that a person is protected from abnormal danger. But from what is considered to be typical danger, he's not going to be protected.
You have to use common sense.
Right. That's right. Okay. If there's a wall that you can... Now, this is very relevant. There's a wall that you used chametz in its coveries, in its holes. The wall fell down. And now it's a pile of rubble. Afilu eno gavah gimel tfachim, even if it is not three tfachim high, which is kedei chafisas hakelav, which is high enough that the dog won't be able to get to it. It's less than three tfachim high, which means the dog could get to it. Ein tzarach livdok tachtav, you do not need to check underneath it. Kivin sheyesh bo sakonas akrov, because there is a sakana of scorpions. Shemetsuyim begalim, and they are found in rubble. Chayshinan shema achar sheyashlem bidikah, so we're afraid that after he finishes checking, sheino osek b'mitzvah, that now he's no longer involved in the mitzvah, yechapes achar machat sheneva, though he might search for a needle that he's missing, v'yavoli de sakana, and will come to sakana, will come to danger. Meaning like this, that here, a scorpion biting him in this rubble is not considered to be a common danger. And therefore, the mitzvah should protect him from it. And the Gemara says that it's true, the mitzvah will protect him, but we're afraid, after he's done checking for chametz, he might look for something else, which is no longer a mitzvah. And then he will be in sakana from the scorpions. And so, therefore, we say that he should not check this pile of rubble. But the Shulchan Aruch says, v'hani mili b'stam. That's only a typical case. But if you know for a fact that there's chametz underneath this rubble, imein alav gova gimel tfachim, if it's not three tfachim high, tzarech lahutzio misham b'mara v'chatzina, you have to get it out using mara v'chatzina, which are tools, implements, which will protect you from the scorpions. Be'inyan shein bo sakana, in a way that it won't be a sakana. Imeish alav gova gimel tfachim, if there's three tfachim above the chametz, mevatlo believe of a die, all you have to do is be mevatlo it, and that's enough. Now this is very, very relevant, because it's like this. You have chametz that falls behind something, so you have to get it out.
Like behind the refrigerator.
Behind the refrigerator, behind a bookshelf, behind a cabinet. So it happens all the time, right? Under the couch.
Yeah.
So do you need to get the chametz out? So this depends. If it is a place which is easily accessible, then there's no question you have to get it out. So if it's a place where, let's say it's underneath something and you sometimes move that thing, let's say it's under the couch, and we move our couch frequently, every time we have to set up tables in the living room, we move the couch. So that means that the couch might be moved on Pesach. Well, then for sure you have to get it out, because you might actually move the item on Pesach. If it's something which you never, ever, ever, ever move, but it is accessible, which means that it could be gotten out and relatively easily, then it depends. If you know for a fact that there's chametz there, you have to get it out. If you don't know for a fact that there's chametz there, then you don't have to get it out. But if you know for a fact there's chametz there, you have to get it out. If it's in a place where it is extremely difficult to get it out, and a dog can't get to it either, then you do not need to get it out, even though you know for a fact that there's chametz there. Let's say a kid drops, and this happens in my house all the time, Cheerios down the vent. So do I have to open up the vent and vacuum it up? No, because that's gone. That's gone. Dog isn't going to get to it, and I'm not going to get to it, and kids aren't going to get to it. It's gone. Now, you'll tell me, yeah, but rodents could get down there and get to it. Yeah, the rodents could get down there and get to it, but that's not our problem. So that's gone. So you have to take each case separately and think it through. Now let's say a bookshelf that's a fully stocked bookshelf. It's, in my mind, you never move that, and that's extremely hard to get to. And therefore, I would think that under most circumstances, you know, it's gone out. Sometimes you could get to it like from the back of the bookshelf. The bookshelf's not flush against the wall, and you can.
But if you have to take all the books out to move it, then
so
really...
Right. So the question is it vaday chametz? Do you know for a fact there's chametz there, or there might be chametz there? In that case, if there might be chametz there, you certainly don't have to do anything. So you don't need to remove the bookshelf if there might be chametz there. If you know for a fact there's chametz there, it depends how if it's accessible or not. Sometimes you can get to it without moving the bookshelf. Then it is accessible, so then you have to get it out. So it's going to depend on the case each time. Okay? Tess is the case in the Mishnah. Martev shemesadrin bo shuros shalchavios zo etzal zo, a storehouse that you pile barrels of wine one next to the other, achin ismale kulo, until the entire floor of the storehouse is full of barrels. V'chozun u'mesadrin shuros acheros al ha'tachtonos. And then you pile up a second layer, ad ha'kara, all the way up to the sky, up to the roof. So you got layer upon layer upon layer of barrels. Ein tzarek livdok el shura ha'oyona v'acheres. You only have to check the top row of barrels and the one directly beneath it. That means one row across the whole width of the storehouse. Not the entire expanse of the storehouse.
That's
right. The top one that sees the roof. And also sees the door. One beneath that, which means you have to check the row, the top corner row. The row, meaning you have piles of barrels, so you have to check the top row that is both next to the ceiling and next to the door, and the one directly beneath that. That's what you have to check. Why? Because the assumption is that you take the wine or the barrels out from the top to the bottom. You have to pull one out from the bottom. Therefore, if you might have brought chametz into a room, you're going to find it in the top two rows. Yud, bate knesios u bate midrashos tzrichin bedika, a shul or a beis medrash needs to be checked, bifnei shatinokos machnisin b'am chametz, because the children do bring chametz into shul and into the beis medrash. Who checks? Congregation by Jacob.
Yeah, volunteers.
And who checks? The kollel beis medrash.
Yes, kollel guys.
Yeah, he announces every year, Rabbi not to bring anything because we're going to check it at some point.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
Okay, I got to find out.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is very interesting, this case of the shul and the beis medrash, because remember we said before that you check for two reasons. You check because we're afraid that you might find chametz on Pesach and you might eat it. And we're also afraid that your bittul wasn't serious. Now, the shul, or the beis medrash, if I'm going to check the beis medrash, it's not my chametz I'm going to find. I mean, perhaps I will, but I'm saying, I'm looking for everybody's chametz. What do I care about everybody else's chametz? They should care about their chametz. Everybody has to care about their chametz on Pesach.
Well, it's communal chametz,
right?
What? Well, the truth is that when you are checking a shul or a beis medrash, only one of the two reasons is operative. The only reason that's operative is that I don't want anybody to find chametz on Pesach and might chas v'shalom eat it. That's why you check a shul or a beis medrash. But for the other reason, that the bittul isn't serious, it's not my chametz. The person who's being mevatel has to worry about that, not me. I can't be mevatel it anyway. Yeah, I can't be mevatel your chametz. So the main reason why you're checking is to make sure there's no chametz around, that people will find it and will come to chas v'shalom eat it. That's the reason why you check. Now that means that.
So you wouldn't say a bracha over that then?
No, you certainly would not say a bracha over it. Although you can check it after you check your own house, and it's included in the bracha. You could do it that way. But that means that the checking is a little bit different, because any place that no one is going to go on Pesach would not have to be checked. Let's say there's a beis medrash that gets locked up for Pesach. Nobody goes in there on Pesach. Nobody uses it on Pesach. You know, here it's a communal beis medrash. People use it over Pesach.
But
daven here on Pesach, right? But there are places where the yeshiva or the kollel is off for Pesach, and it's not used over Pesach. Closed up, but nobody uses it. So then you don't need to check it. What are you checking for? Nobody's going to eat anything on Pesach because nobody's in there. And because of bittul of who? Who's the? It's not me. It's not the person who. It's not the who owns the chametz. Every other individual owns the chametz.
You're going to be here for Pesach?
I will be here for Pesach. Yeah.
Well, everybody else clears out, I think.
Not everybody. You know. But yeah. No, we're going to have Chol HaMoed learning like we did over Sukkot. Going to do. So it's a different sort of checking when you check a beis medrash or a shul, and this is relevant also for going out of town, as we're going to have later. A person goes away for Pesach, so checking their house or you know, do they have to check their house or not? This is going to be relevant there too, because nobody's going to find it over Pesach. There, the only issue is bittul. So That's something else which we'll talk about later. You're both here for Pesach? You're for Pesach? You're for Pesach.
Yeah. See, I live here. My whole family is here. I grew up here. So everybody else lives here.
Right.
And their family is elsewhere. But this is where my mother and brother and sisters.
No, my parents are coming to us. They usually come to us.
Where do they live?
Philadelphia. Yud Aleph. Here's the case that we were talking about. Someone who sweeps out his room on the 13th of Nisan, before B'dikas Chametz, he cleans his room, and as he's cleaning his room, he has in mind to get rid of all the Chametz. And he's careful not to let any more Chametz in the room. You still have to check again on the night of the 14th. Even though you did a thorough cleaning on the day of the 13th, you still have to clean out, you still have to do B'dikas Chametz on the night of the 14th. Haggah, V'chol Adam Tzarech L'chaber Chadar V'Kodem HaB'dika. Everybody must clean their room before the B'dika. You have to make sure to clean it, because otherwise there's Chametz all over the place. V'hakithim O'batei Yad Shal B'gadim Shenosnim Bahem L'Pamim Chametz Tzrichim B'dika. And the pockets and the batei yad, which are the sleeves or gloves of the clothing, need bedika, because sometimes they put chametz in there, so you must check your pockets of your clothing. That's a common thing to forget. Right? You got to check the pockets of all the clothing, and that can be a tedious job. So what my wife does is that already before Pesach, you know, whatever it is, the laundry that she's doing, already several laundries before Pesach, she's already checking pockets, and the closets and all that. You also have to check cuffs of pants.
You have to check it even though if it's winter clothing that you wouldn't wear during Pesach.
Doesn't matter.
You have to check it.
Yeah. No. Right. Because here it's also that you that's something which is, it's not gone. You know, it's around.
No.
Right. The Bittl, we don't rely on the Bittl, so you do have to check that also.
The weather here in Pesach is glorious.
Yeah, so right. So around here.
Glorious.
Yeah. It's not inconceivable that you would need to go to Rav Pesach. Let's say you decided over Pesach, for whatever reason, you're going to go up to New York. So you'd find your winter coat and go up to New York. But you'd bring your winter coat.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it's not like it's...
It's brutal out there. Yeah. It's like 5 degrees.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to stop here.